Jack. 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 Jack.
Hello and welcome again to another edition of Jedi and Germs on the Jazz, a weekly podcast brought to you by TornbySports.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy.
Hello.
Hello, John. And hello, Devin. We are all remote tonight.
I'm not remote.
Well, okay, you're not remote. Fine.
He's exactly where he needs to be.
Well, we were almost worried this wasn't going to happen tonight, of course, because we've just had a fairly busy week. So, and before we kick things off, I do want to say thank you to our good friends at Dog and Deuce for, one, having Alan join us last week, because it was a very insightful, a very enjoyable podcast, and also for having me on last night. So, and talked some Jazz basketball last night and some Cougars and Utes. So, appreciate Alan and James over there at Dog and Deuce for being gracious with us as a group over the last week. It's been really good.
Cool.
So, and I don't know, John, if you got a chance to listen to it. I know Devin did, but yeah, it turned out all right. It was fun. And they both spoke. Alan particularly spoke very highly of both of you. He enjoyed the time with us last week. So he just wanted to pass that along to both of you that he has a great deal of respect and love for what you guys are doing as well.
Well, awesome. I feel very flattered now.
So, All right. What did you have in mind tonight?
Well, first we need to mourn the Jazz players who are no longer Jazz players. Jazz have released three different players this week. They released Jack Cooley, they released J.J. O'Brien, and they went ahead and released Grant Jarrett. I can't say I'm surprised by any of them. It is kind of sad to see Jack go, but I just didn't see how they were going to be able to keep him. I am surprised that they just went ahead and, you know, waived Jarrett and ate $1 million with $900,000. But they still have Trevion Graham on the roster. I didn't think that he would last longer than Jarrett, but Jarrett's just never been able to get right with his injuries and show the Jazz what they can do. And they just saw that they had too many other options at training camp that they'd rather keep one of these other guys than, you know, wait around on Jarrett and see if he's anything.
I'll be honest, I wasn't necessarily surprised by any of them either. And we've talked enough about who we thought would be the final 15. And in the end, these three were all a part of that five-man cut, weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, that means of the, I think they're down to 17 now, so they got to cut two more.
Right.
Graham will surely be one of those. And so that last spot is going to be, you know, only one more guy to be cut from Chris Johnson, Elijah Millsap, Bryce Cotton, and Jeff Withey. And with that group, probably Chris Johnson would be my guess. I think they keep Bryce. Go ahead and keep that. I know they're experimenting a lot with the non-point guard lineups, but I think they go ahead and keep Bryce. They like Elijah Millsap, and they have also been very happy with what Jeff Withey's done. So I think those are the guys that are in the final 15.
And I am agreement with all of that. And I think we've, again, this is nothing that we haven't discussed already. I think we had all decided it was going to come down to that last roster spot, probably belonging to Bryce Cotton. So seeing Chris Johnson be the one to go, not a surprise. No. Devin, any thoughts yourself?
You know, I really do think it's a two-man race between Cotton and Johnson, but I have a weird feeling, just for some reason, that Johnson is really making his case to be on this team. He's been seeing time in preseason, and Cotton hasn't. And I don't know if that's because Cotton had his chance before in summer league and last season, or if they're just really taking a look to see, hey, do we want to keep Johnson on board? I wouldn't be shocked if Johnson lands that last spot. I would prefer it to go to Bryce, but I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't.
I think they're giving Bryce has seen some time, but I think they're giving Chris Johnson more time because they're less sure about him. You know, he played for the team last year. He was good when he was in. But it's just a matter of where do they have more needs. And I think Millsap's ahead of Johnson because of what he can do defensively. So they're giving Johnson another look to see if they really want to keep him over Bryce. But I think they're more confident in what Bryce can do. And I think Bryce adds a dimension in spot minutes that the other guys don't. And I can't imagine them not having that third point guard, especially if something happened to Trey or Howell Neto. If one of them happened to go down, then you only have one healthy point guard. I can't see them doing that.
And I've been saying that as well for quite some time. I think that third point guard fits the MO of what the Jazz have been doing for so long. Granted, we're not seeing a normal, you know, progression like we've seen in the past with the Jazz because Quinn Snyder is going positionless. But I've got to believe that Chris Johnson is not going to fit and it's going to be Bryce Cotton. Another reason why I think that happened is the Jazz are already fairly deep at the wing position. I mean, if they keep Millsap, which I find it hard to believe they would let him go, we're fairly deep at that 2 and 3 spot. And I think that Bryce Cotton is the right pick because you might as well pick up a third point guard at this point in time.
Oh, I definitely agree. I think Cotton is the smart pick. I don't know. I've got this weird feeling that maybe Johnson has more of a chance than what people are thinking, but I'm guessing we're going to find out here very shortly who it is. I think when it comes down to Millsap though, definitely safe. And with the, I think also safe, especially with them cutting my boy Jack, I think Withy's earned his place on this roster.
And there's always the off chance that both of them get cut because there's someone they're looking at in a different training camp who gets cut, which is how they wound up with Joe Ingles last year.
Whoa, John dropping the bomb. It's, but you're right, you're right.
Possible.
It is.
You know, maybe if... I don't know. I haven't really looked at this, but there might be some fringe guys on other teams. You saw that Nate Robinson just got picked up by the Pelicans, who were worried about their point guard play. So, you know, there's still guys out there.
So what you're saying is the Jazz will have to wait another season to get Robinson in a Jazz uniform.
Yep, one more season. They took too long to grab Nate, and now he's not there.
Maybe just for Devin's sake, maybe Swaggy P's on their radar.
Didn't they just extend him or something?
I think so. I was just throwing out there for the fun of it.
I think he's there for a while.
It's not the same, Alan. Ever since he got a tattoo on his shooting arm, it's just not the same. That was reserved for buckets, and I don't know if I can trust him anymore.
Well, they could always try for Jimmer. He's probably going to get cut.
Yeah, but with the numbers he's putting up in preseason on a team that
there's
I thought...
There's a reason he's going to get cut.
Yes, and I thought the Spurs would not be a bad pickup for him and that maybe he could resurrect something there, but Oh, after all is said and done, I think he's proving many of the analysts wrong all along, and he's just not cut out for the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, he might have to do the Tyler Hauser route and just go to Europe.
Agreed.
Living out there.
No, I agree.
Let's shift to something that we haven't really talked much, and that is NBA rank. You've been following this?
I've been following it via you.
Well, there you go. They have revealed through 46. We'll find out who they have 41st through, or not 40. We'll find out who's in their 35 to 40 tomorrow, or actually today, later today for us in the recent past for people actually listening. But Rudy came in at number 42. And I thought he'd be in the top 40. I mean, SI had Favors and Gobert in the top 40, but both of them landed in the 40s this time around. And so I took their rankings and I looked at who all was left, trying to figure out where exactly everyone else is going to end up in NBA rank. And then I went ahead and plugged in the positions to just get an idea of where everyone was falling. And I have found that if you go rank by position, the most talent is in the point guard position. And how I justify that is I did the top 12 of each position, and the 12th best point guard is Derrick Rose at number 41. The next most talented position would be power forward, and the 12th highest rank power forward is Derek Favors. He's at number 48. Next, you go to center. The 12th best center would be Brook Lopez at 51. Next would be small forward. The 12th best small forward would be Danilo Gallinari at number 69. And then shooting guard actually wound up being the weakest one. And I had to go all the way down to Marcus Smart at number 85. And even then, he might still be considered a point guard. He's going to play a lot of shooting guard because of Isaiah Thomas. But, you know, I had to drop all the way down to 85 to figure out who the 12th best point guard or shooting guard was. So where did the Jazz fit into this? They have Rudy as the 9th best center. I think that feels low for him.
Yeah.
They have Favors as the 12th best power forward. Actually, let me back up. Let me start with each of these and go through them. This isn't exact order because they don't have the top ones figured out, but your top 12 centers, you have Dwight Howard, DeMarcus Cousins, Al Horford, Mark Gasol, DeAndre Jordan, Andre Drummond, Tim Duncan, and Joakim Noah. You have those guys above Rudy, and then Rudy comes in at 9th. And I was looking at Joakim Noah's numbers, and his ranking has to be based on them thinking he's going to be healthy and he's going to be more like what he was 2 years ago, because last year he was not that great. He actually had quite the fall off. Sliding over to power forward, Derek Favors is the 12th best power forward. Their power forwards, they have Anthony Davis, Chris Bosh, Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge, Draymond Green, Paul Millsap, Kevin Love, Serge Ibaka, Zach Randolph, Paul Gasol, and Dirk Nowitzki. And some of those ones at the top probably aren't quite in that order, but, you know. Small forward, Gordon Hayward isn't ranked, but I think he's going to wind up coming in 6th. I think the way the things are going to go, you're going to have James, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard. I'm pretty confident are going to be their top 3. Are we going to have Carmelo Anthony and Paul George above Hayward? It's about where I think they're going to put him. Then you have Giannis. I can't believe I tried to say his last name. Greek Freak's going to be right after Hayward, I think. And then you have Andre Wiggins, Andre Iguodala, Damari Carroll, Chandler Parsons, and Danilo Gallinari. Shooting guard, your top 12 are going to be James Harden, Jimmy Butler, Klay Thompson, Brad Beal, Chris Middleton. They have ranked awful high. Dwayne Wade, DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Korver, Victor Oladipo, Danny Green, J.J. Redick, and Marcus Smart. Our highest ranked shooting guard is Alec Burks, and he would come in as the 25th best shooting guard in their rankings. And then you go over to point guard, which is the best one, and you have Steph Curry, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, John Wall, Kyrie Irving, Damian Lillard, Eric Bledsoe, Goran Dragic, Mike Conley, Kyle Lowry, Jeff Teague, and Derrick Rose. And Trey Burke comes in at 35th. So our backcourt is our weakest, and our backcourt's where we need to prove things. But we're at least in the top 12 for our other three positions. And I could see, I think Rudy's actually going to ultimately be better than the ninth best center this coming season. So that's just interesting stuff I thought when I was looking at it.
And going as you went through those lists, other than maybe the center position with Rudy falling where we didn't quite expect him to be, all of the rest of those fall in line pretty much with our predictions over the last month and a half as well. I mean, if you really look at it, we picked our top five and ultimately our top 10. And like I said, with the exception of the center position, I think the rest of them fell in line pretty much where we had them all. And we didn't have Derek in our top 10. I don't believe we did. Gordon Hayward, there you're saying sixth best. I think we had him as our fourth or fifth best. Rudy needs to be higher. And this might be the year where he has to prove himself. Alec Burks is right about where he expected, but he's the one guy that I think is better than what they're having him at right now. But I think that's based on what we saw limited action of him last year coming off of injury. So that's a cautious pick, if you will, for ESPN, I think, because I think he's better than that.
I think he's better than that, but that's probably about where he should be when you consider he's coming off injury. He played a smaller role the seasons before. We really haven't seen what Alec brings to the table as a starter or as a guy who's getting heavy minutes. I mean, you could say he got some minutes under Corbin, but a lot of people are going to say that doesn't count. So I think this is really a year for Alec to make his case and move up. The thing that, you know, really hurts me here is from what we saw a little bit during summer league of Dante, I really feel like sophomore season was his chance to really make a jump and, you know, not throw his hat into the top 12 ring, but definitely be better than, what'd you say Trey was, number 35?
Yeah.
See,
Yeah, Dante would have been high, but they knew about his season-ending injury before they did the rank, so he didn't even rank.
Right. It makes you wonder where he would be going into next year if he had a shot at this year. It's just it's too bad that that's the setback that he has. But I think the Jazz are in an okay spot going forward in the future. You know, we'll have to see how he comes off of the injury, if he's going to come back 100% or if he's going to have some injury problems in his career, kind of like we've seen in Chicago.
So based on all this conversation, this brings up an interesting point. Had a conversation last night, and that was about All-Stars. And I think there are two players on the Jazz that are fringe All-Stars, and I could actually see at least one of them being a coach's pick come All-Star break. And my thoughts are, and that is Gordon Hayward and Rudy Gobert. Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah,
definitely.
The only thing with the thing that Hayward has to face is you have Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard, who are probably shoo-ins. And there are so many good power forwards in the West that it's going to be tough. You've got Anthony Davis, Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge, Draymond Green probably going to be favored to get in there. We'll see what kind of year Serge Ibaka has. You know, Dwight Howard, DeMarcus Cousins, Mark Gasol, DeAndre Jordan. There's just a lot of big men. And the way they do All-Stars now is you just do your two guards and your three forwards. So he could he could have trouble getting in if there are just too many good, bigger guys that the voters want to get in.
Yeah.
But as if they were just doing strictly 3 point guards, 3 shooting guards, 3 small forwards, 3 power forwards, 3 centers. Or they don't do 15 though, don't they just do 12? However, they would break it down. If they were holding to more traditional positions, I think he would be in, because I think he's going to be the third best small forward in the West.
So right. Well,
it's
and
just a matter of if that's going to be enough.
Which is why my pick, I think if there was a coach's choice, I almost think Rudy gets it before Hayward, simply for the defensive presence that Rudy brings to the game. I could almost see whoever's coaching the West team saying, I like having the 7-footer on our team who's the premier shot blocker in the league. Let's bring him on. And I could see that happening with Rudy. Does it mean that I think that's deserving that way? No, I actually think Hayward deserves it as much, if not more, than what Rudy does. But it'll be an interesting quandary come around February to see what happens.
Yeah. And the thing with Alec, and I agree with Devin about his ranking, because, I mean, he was getting DNP CDs even into his third year under Corbin. And he only started 12 games that last year. He just never quite had Tyus trust. And then last year, when he finally got to start and he was playing under Quinn, his shooting was way down. And the whole time he played, I mean, his three-point shooting was up, but he was only shooting 40% from two, or 41% from two, which, you know, really hurt him. And the whole time that he was playing, it was with Enes Kanter as a starter, so his defense didn't look good. So, right. You know, he's still this question mark, even though he's going into his fifth year. We're just not sure how good he can really be.
And I'm going to go back and say I still think he flourished under Ty Corbin, though, as well, because you talk about whether he had Ty Corbin's trust or not, and he only started 12 games. Let's not forget that Ty made a decision a little less than midway through to have Alec be the sixth man, and he flourished in the sixth man role for half that season. He played very well off the bench. There's silence.
Yeah.
You want to rebuttal that. I know you do. But I thought that that was the year where Alec maybe – I thought that was the year where Alec gained some confidence. Don't forget that was the part of the year where Alec scored his 2 career-high games, one against Miami and one against – trying to think of the other team. But he put up 30-something against LeBron James and Miami in Miami on the road that night. As the sixth man.
Here's the thing.
He scored 34 against Denver.
Yeah. So he had 2 of his best nights in his career coming off the bench for the Jazz in that season. What were you saying, Devin?
You're just dealing with too small of a sample size when it comes to Alec Burks. And I know that's really weird to say about a guy this far into his career. But with the injury and the way he was utilized early on, this is really his year, I think, where he has to make his case for where he belongs in the NBA. Is he going to be a guy who's going to be a starter? Or is he going to be a guy who's going to get heavy minutes off the bench? Or is he going to be a guy that ends up getting buried at the end of the bench and finding his way out of the league in the next 2 or 3 years? This is really his make or break season, I think. And I think he understands that.
No, I agree. And I also think that third option you said won't happen. And even if he doesn't start, as we've seen in preseason action, I'll be curious, but I think he and Hood might share a good majority of the minutes, and the two of them might. You might have one night where one of them goes off, then one night where the other one goes off, and maybe nights where both of them are in the 14, 15, 16 point a night range together. And that's not a – you know what? If you told me you had 2 shooters and two guards that were averaging 15 a night at the wing position, I'd be happy with that.
Well, you might, because you've got Hayward in that mix too if you want to consider
exactly.
Him a wing player. So I think he's going to have a good season. I don't know how much he'll climb. I think he's better than where he's ranked now, you know, about, what do we say, 25th overall in the shooting guard mm-hmm. slot. I think he's better than that. I don't think he's going to find his way out of the league anytime soon, but it's just it's fair for where he's at right now, I think.
Agreed.
Yeah, right now he's considered a strong rotation player, a fringe starter. As far as shooting guards go, he's still ranked below guys like J.R. Smith and Jordan Clarkson. And, you know, he has to just prove that he's better than that because there hasn't been enough to go on so far.
Okay, I'm just going to say this right now.
As weird as that is.
I'm going to say this right now. I hope he does prove it because I'm just – to be behind J.R. Smith is a mistake in my opinion just because J.R. Smith – Never mind. We could have a whole podcast ripping J.R. Smith. But anyway, that's another story.
We could have a whole podcast saying how he goes off in some games and can't miss from three.
Some games.
You got to give him some credit.
I agree. But then a lot of other games, he completely disappears.
And he makes bad decisions on the court.
Exactly. I don't know that there's enough consistency from him to really put him any sort of... I don't know. It's just maybe it's just me, but I have a hard time with JR, much the same as I do with a couple other players around the league that you know what their capabilities are. You know where their ceiling can be, but it's wasted space because of what's up top.
Honestly, I would like to see Alec become kind of like a JR Smith, but a more consistent scorer and a smarter player on the court, a higher basketball IQ. And I think he's completely capable of that.
Agreed.
Yeah, that would be nice. I mean, JR was, when he went to Cleveland, he was 49.4% from two and 39% from three. I support that. So. And that's, you know, JR's, that's why JR is only the 24th best shooting guard, just because of that other. His other issues.
Right. No, I agree.
And I'd rather have Alec at number 25 than JR at number 24 because we're just getting to see what Alec brings to the table. JR, you know what he's going to bring. So that's the beauty of this is, you know, people are going to be like, well, I'd rather have a JR Smith because I know he can score. No, I'd rather have an Alec Burks because I think his ceiling is much higher than where JR is at right now. And that's something to be excited about.
Okay. Here's something that kills me about Alec Burks too. We talk about him. Do you realize he's entering his fifth season in the league? It doesn't even feel like that because his first season in the league was an NBA shortened 66 games. And then he's gone through, you know, he went through Ty Corbin for that year and a half. And then he's now got Quinn. I don't think we've seen Alec. It's almost unfair to say it's his fifth league because it doesn't feel like it.
Well, I mean, he was getting DNP CDs his second year where everyone was like, come on, why aren't you playing Alec? And that year that they got rid of everybody and we all knew we were tanking, he still wasn't starting because Ty wanted Hayward at the two so he could have Jefferson at the three. And Marvin at the four for most of that year, which was interesting. So, I mean, even then, we were like still just kind of like, we're still not really seeing what he can do.
Yeah.
We were still seeing the hashtag Free Alec Burks campaign 2 years ago.
Yes. Yeah,
exactly.
And then
last year was his chance, but the Jazz started so badly, and then he gets injured before he's able to ride the wave with everybody else when they get it all figured out.
No, agreed.
So, yeah, there's more pressure on him this year because Dante's not there. With Dante gone, there's more pressure for him to be the one that elevates his game.
So I don't know what else you had to talk about, but I want to talk just for a moment maybe about this positionless idea that the Jazz are rolling with. We've now seen in playoff – in the preseason games, we've seen, two or three games now where we've seen the final lineup in the game, the fourth quarter. You've had Alec Burks, Rodney Hood, Gordon Hayward, Derek Favors, and Rudy Gobert. Where do you guys see that lineup as the season progresses? Is that going to become maybe the go-to group in the fourth quarter every night for all 82 games?
No, but it will happen some games. And it makes sense because Hayward and Hood do a lot of ball handling, even when the point guard's out there on the floor, and it gives them all kinds of options on defense. So I know that's where Quinn's going. And, you know, he was really looking forward to having this 6'6 point guard, but since he doesn't, you look at how good these other guys are handling the ball anyway, that he can have that option there. Now, there are things that Trey and Neto bring to the floor, which means I still think it's going to be a majority point guard minute lineup. But when there are nights you just want to lock down defense with longer arms, then you've got those three guys right there.
It's going to come down to two things, whether you see that lineup or not. The first thing is going to be the score. If the Jazz are in a close game, I could see them going with that. If they're in a blowout, of course, you're not going to see it because your starters are going to be on the bench, whether they're winning or losing. So if you're in a close game, that's when you might see it. The other thing it will come down to is how Trey Burke is performing on that night. Because if Trey is having a good night, I think Quinn trusts him and will leave him in the game as the point guard. If he's scoring the ball, shooting well, setting up his teammates, making good decisions, I could see them leaving Trey as the point guard and then making the decision between Rodney and Alec, you know, who's going to be your two to close the game out. But if Trey's having a bad night and they're in a close game, absolutely, I think you'll see that often.
And I think a couple of things. I think Hayward and Burks are likely to be the two that carry the heavy minutes load in those interchangeable lineups in the end, because I think the two of them have proved, even in small sample sizes, that they're the closers on the Jazz team. And you want the ball in the hands of either Alec Burks or Gordon Hayward down the stretch in a close game. But I'm just intrigued by the positionless idea. The league has done that more, where you've got guys that are so versatile and can play multiple positions. And the Jazz really have 3, 4, or 5 guys that can do that. And so it grants Quinn Snyder the opportunity and freedom to put whoever he wants to on the floor whenever matchups dictate it. And I kind of like that idea. What I like more, too, is that he's got the ability to dictate the matchups himself. Instead of letting Golden State dictate the speed and matchup of a game, and I'm using a grand, you know, example here, but instead of letting them do that, Quinn has the flexibility and mobility to be able to do that himself. He can put guys in and dictate the speed of the game, dictate what happens, and, you know, I kind of like it. Granted, it's only preseason. It's very, very small, limited sample sizes and games that don't matter. But I like the versatility and ability that he has to be able to be free and do that.
Yeah, I agree.
What else did you have tonight, John?
Well, it's almost midnight, so I think this is actually a good short one. We can get out and do our regular time next week.
Hey, yes, I got one more that I'd like to bring up, and I think it's important we do. The Lamar Odom situation. Did you guys happen to see on SportsCenter last night, Scott Van Pelt did a commentary about Lamar Odom and him having his fame from, or earning his fame rather than getting it from being on a reality show with a certain family that a lot of people know. Did you guys see that?
I didn't see it. I heard about it.
Yeah, I've seen tweets, but I haven't actually watched it.
You need to go watch it. It's only, you know, 20, 30 seconds, but it's really sad that people out there don't realize what a basketball talent he was. I mean, I'll be honest. I hated the guy when the Jazz played against him because he was so good. And because that Laker team was so good, but they were, I don't think they were a championship team without him. And it's really sad to see just how much his demons have gotten the best of him and, you know, the situation he's in now.
I agree. I want to remind everybody, though, his talent was known from day one, because look at the Clippers. They picked him up in the top five in the draft. I think he was fourth overall, if I remember correctly. So he's a guy who was obviously on the radar ahead of his time in the NBA. And the Clippers turn around and do what they had done for so many years prior and traded away such a good pick later to the Heat. And he only had 1 year there. But no, he's been consistent throughout his career. And I think that 2008, 2009, and 10 seasons were his best years of his career. And oh, guess what? He won two championships because of it. It's sad that his demons are catching him again, and we know those demons existed before. He's had problems in the past. Early on in his career, he was arrested because of drugs, or he was drug tested and suspended. I can't remember because of drugs. But right now, all of that, demons are not. And this is what I said last night. I'm like, everybody has demons. It's just sad sometimes when they have to display themselves out for everybody to see. And you know what? Whether you loved or hated him on the court, he's a guy that you got to give props to. And I for one hope that everything turns out okay for him, and that he comes out of this and gets some help and becomes a better man as a result.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that make you realize, you know, we get on here every week and we talk about sports, but there are, you know, there are things so much greater than what we talk about. You know, there's real life, and these guys are all human. They all have families. They all have their backgrounds. And so it's really sad, but I hope this is a chance for everyone to kind of pull for him and to put basketball aside and realize, hey, it's just a game at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about the Lakers championships, once Shaq left, Kobe's not getting two more rings if Pau Gasol and Lamar Odom aren't on that team.
Yep.
And Lamar Odom was kind of unsung. A lot of people would talk about Kobe and Pau, but Lamar was the best defender on that team, and he was all over the floor. He was crucial to them. And I'm trying to see if there's any update. It sounds like he's still in critical condition.
Yeah, and the last update I saw yesterday, late in the day, that ESPN posted was something about that this was involving cocaine as well, which, again, is another one of those demons creeping up. So, I mean, it's sad. This and Sarkisian. Sarkisian's dealing with demons too, and this is a good week to remember. Great point to bring up, Devin. This is a good week to remember that there's lives involved, and it's not always about sports, and it's good to take a step back once in a while, because Sarkisian's dealing with his own problems and his own demons, just like Lamar Odom is right now.
Yep.
So I guess we just wanted to say, you know, well wishes and hope that he pulls through and everything works out. And like you said, you brought up Sark too. You know, it's game week for Notre Dame against USC, but the person I'm really pulling for is Sarkisian this week. So,
ditto. Definitely. So, all right. Well,
although I will root for Notre Dame because I thought it was really slimy how they handled that.
I will not disagree with that either.
Well, of course I'm going to cheer for Notre Dame, but you know.
Yeah.
Well, and you might as well cheer for Notre Dame because the rest of the Pac-12 keeps beating each other up, and there right now seems to be only one undefeated team that I know of. Is that correct?
Who is that?
No idea.
They're probably pretty good, though.
We'll see. So, also on next week note, we'll get together next week, but there will be a preseason game on our normal Jedi and Germs night. So we'll have to figure something out. So, but thank you all for joining us on another edition of Jedi and Germs. We hope you enjoyed our discussion this week. We're excited. Jazz season right around the corner. We're going to have lots more to talk about as we proceed. So if, you know, get at us, interact with us. You can find us on Twitter at Jedi and Germs, at Germs Guy, at Jedi Zog, at Torn by Devin. Email us, JediZog@gmail.com. And you can find us on Stitcher and iTunes, Jedi and Germs on the Jazz. I'm trying to think if I'm forgetting anything else. I doubt it. So thank you all for joining us, and look for us next week. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.